to Coog with McCarthy in support on the inside. He takes the reverse pass and dashes 20 yards to touchdown between the posts.
Welcome to another edition of Rabbitohs Radio. My name is Grant Chappell. I'm joined by my loyal co-host and friend, Darren Brownie Brown. What's doing, Brownie?
Yeah, not too much, chaps. Just sort of like getting back into the groove after that big Vegas trip. And just a big warm welcome to all the listeners out there as well.
Yeah, I think I'm still jet-lagged. I got up at 2:30 in the morning. Couldn't get back to sleep. Ended up just going to the gym at work at 3:45. What else was I going to do? Bed karate. But anyway, that's not what we're here for, to talk about my sleeping patterns. South Sydney Rabbitohs have got a big game, a very historic clash over there in the beautiful Pacific island of Fiji this weekend. And we've got Executive Director of Kaiviti Silktails, Steve Driscoll, on the line. How are you, mate?
G'day, boys. How you doing?
Yeah, g'day, Driscoll. How are you, mate?
Good, Brownie. Good to hear your voice, mate.
Yeah, it's good to be back from back in town, mate.
Mate, we might get your rugby league journey there, Driscoll.
Rugby league journey, wow. Okay, it's not a very decorated one, but mate, I was born in Fiji back in 1977. Came here to Australia when I was 3 years old. Grew up in Botany. Started with the mighty Botany Rams when I was in under sixes. Coached by the mighty Botany Ducks.
Oh, the Botany
Ducks. Introduction to rugby league.
Yeah, that's a name. A blast from the past.
Yeah. It's a name that's never left me, that one. But so that was my introduction to rugby league. Started off at the Rams. Yeah, played 3 years there. We folded, actually. I think it was always L grade back in those days, which whatever that age group is, I think under nines or something. Most of my team went to Matraville Tigers, but my father was managing the Commonwealth Bank at Maroubra, and one of his colleagues was a Maroubra Lions fella, and ended up going there and spent 10 years there. Really good times there. People like Keith McCraw and those guys coaching me as a kid there. So that was a good period there. But went to school with a lot of those Matto Tigers guys. Had a really good side coming through the ranks, and I had to play against them all them years. And then in D grade, I'm back on the letters again, but yeah, under 17s, went over to Matto Tigers and played with some of my good friends, Shane Knight and Ben Stokes and, Brad Taff and all those guys are playing then as well. And my best mate that lived next door to me, Mass Di Martino, he was in that side as well. So, yeah, spent four or five, probably my most enjoyable years of footy at the Tigers. Won some premierships and, yeah, as it is at that time of the year, your life, between 17s and 21s, it was a good period. And then, yeah, got graded with South, played junior reps along the way, sort of signed a contract with South when I was 14, actually. We had a really good little Harold Mapp side, and we made the grand final. And, yeah, signed a contract there. And yeah, before that, I was a ball boy, and Geordie Peets and all those guys. And so, yeah, had a obviously before I got to play for South, had a real sort of taste of what that was like, being a ball boy and something I always wanted to do when I was a kid. And it got graded. Didn't go on to any great heights after that, mate. I played in the lower grades and then had a year in England with the Leeds Centurions when I was 22, actually. Oh, sorry, 21. Had my 21st there. And then came back and South were out of the competition, obviously, during that period. And, I was just playing local, playing for Moore Park. Ended up having 10 years there, actually. Or close to. But yeah, mate, that's my sort of rugby league journey as a player. I can't remember, pre-season was early 2000s. I had a back injury and I was training with Newtown at the time, and then made a decision to hang the boots up. There was an option to have surgery on a back, and I was running garbage and trying to still make reserve grade, and decided to walk away. And then got into strength and conditioning. Started with the Rabbits there with our SG Ball and Harold Matt sides. Me and Tricky Trindle actually did those sides for a couple of years and spent some years there as a trainer, sort of worked my way up to reserve grade. And then this part might not make the podcast, but then after 4 or 5 years, I headed over to the enemy, mate, and left to go to the Roosters. And, been there for 17 years now, actually. So I had 1 year in 2018. I went to the Titans for a year, but that's my... That's sort of my journey. I've been pretty lucky, sort of probably did better as a trainer than I did as a player. I've been pretty pretty lucky to obviously work with the Fiji national side, and during Freddie's time, had some years working with the Origin team. Just finished working with the All Stars team actually, which was great. The Indigenous team that was, but yeah, in a nutshell, mate, that's my journey, mate.
Mate, well, we'll just backpedal a little bit there with that SG Ball Premiership winning team. Not too many players have got the opportunity to win the SG Ball in the red and green, but you were one of them, mate. Tell us a little bit about that particular team and Niggsy Hill, his last year of coaching.
Yeah, it was actually. So yeah, we had a pretty decent age group actually. We weren't sort of the best individual players, but we were pretty good team. Shane Knight was in our sides. Guys like Robbie Sims, Gavin Lester, mentioned before, Benny Stokes, Terry Glassie, Ron Bushby. We made the grand final in Harold Matts and actually got beat by Newcastle in the GF. 2 years later, we ended up coming up against Newcastle in the final again, believe it or not, for the in the SG Ball. And, it was, it was probably four or five teams that made up that actual one team. So I think it was, Matraville, La Perouse, Mascot, Southeastern, Zetland. We were actually up by a fair bit. I think we were probably two tries clear, and we looked like we were going to win. And Owen Craigie, as he did at that age group, just chipped and chased and regathered, on two or three different occasions, and ran 100 metres and scored under the sticks. And then before you knew it, with 5 minutes to go, we were down by 2 points. And we're obviously, being Niggsy's last game, and I know you guys have sort of watched the series that you've done on Niggsy. He's probably, he's the greatest junior rep coach that Souths has ever had, and you guys highlighted that in that series you did. So we're obviously really keen to send him out a winner because it was his last hurrah as a coach. And then I hate even talking about it because I'm going to talk about myself, but I sort of got back on the field. I sort of got kneed in the back by Owie, actually. It was an accident, and then came off and then went back on, and then we ended up sort of crashing under the post, or just in the sort of right spot at the right time, and scored under the sticks there. And then we were down, then they went in front, and then when we got down the other end of the park, we had sort of one set to win it, and Nighty, as he did, sort of jumped in a dummy half and sort of fake down one way, and they were all looking at all the other blokes that they needed to tackle. They weren't looking at me. I ended up with the ball, and I was had a clear run under the post, and it was probably the first and last of two tries in a pretty modest career. But it was obviously probably for me it was the sort of best thing that ever happened to us, particularly being we're a really tight bunch of guys. Like I said, we all played against each other, but we all grew up together, and most of us had been playing with or against each other since we were 6 years old. And we were playing against districts that had in those days 10 12 teams in a grade, and we were down to four or five then. So and then most importantly, we got to send Niggsy out a winner, and that was that, mate.
Oh, a great part of your journey, mate, to win a premiership in the SG Ball. Correct me if I'm wrong, Drisk, is that the last team from the South Sydney Rabbitohs to win an SG Ball?
No, I believe Braith and Astor's team after that won it.
Yeah. I think 98 might have won it, is that right?
Braith, Luke Brannigan, Noah Setti.
Yep.
I know they've been to a grand final a couple of times, I believe, as well. Actually, with the first year I came as an SNC coach to the club, we made the grand final, and, that was ironically gonna sort of be the next one. We're up by 20 points at half time against Newcastle, believe it or not, and I think we're up 24-4 at half time, and then got rolled. But other than that, before that, as a winner, I'm pretty sure it was Braith and that's team that won the last one.
Set you up for a long career in the game, mate. You're still involved with the game today heavily, and in particular Fiji Rugby League. Tell us a bit about how Fiji Rugby League is growing over there.
Yeah, well, this sort of whole concept came about. One of the all-time great Fijians and great players, Petro Sivanasiva. It's actually pronounced Zivanadeva. So when we're in Australia, we say Sivanasiva, but in Fiji, it's Zivanadeva. But I'll say it in the Aussie way, so everybody knows what I'm talking about. But Petro Sivanasiva. I was actually 2013 World Cup. I was fortunate to be part of the staff with that, and Petro had his last hurrah as our captain, and Wes Nagama was our vice captain, and we had some guys from the local competition that were part of the squad, and getting chatting with them, or probably more Petro than anyone, sort of got to learn a bit about the challenges of finding a pathway to a club, or you know not so much the NRL, but you know, even to get to Australia to play, because you know, it's obviously playing Fiji in rugby league and life in general is pretty modest, and everyone's trying to sort of fight their way out of there a little bit so they can earn a dollar. And Petro got to learn and understand a little bit about that. And I was obviously Petro and I'd become friends prior to the World Cup, and you know, sort of came up with this idea around Petro did around putting a team in the New South Wales Cup competition. PNG had spoke about doing it with the Hunters. I'm pretty sure they might have already done it, actually. So that was in 2013. And, ironically, Petro was the captain, and myself, I was the S&C, who Petro's chairman of the club, and I'm the bit of a title, but executive director. But and then our vice captain, Wes Nagam, is now a head coach there. So, there's a lot of hard work, obviously, between 2013 and didn't get on the pitch until 2020. So there was,
wow,
you know, 5 years of, trying to sort of get this off the ground, and you know, there's bank guarantees and you know, all these other things that needed to get in place. And it was and obviously in Fiji with rugby being what it is and being the number one sport, it was a real challenge trying to sort of gather support there, and the other different externals that were coming into place as well that were making it hard. But I sort of didn't really want to get involved. Told Petro I'd, you know, support from the outside, and sort of followed him along that journey. And he's, you know, he went, had some pretty sort of tough periods trying to get it off the ground. And then, I think it was in 2019, I think we had some luck, and we ended up, you know, having someone that would come on board with a bank guarantee to help get the bid off the ground. And then Petro and I drove to Canberra. I think it was the 23rd of December. I remember it was 2 days before, 2 days before Christmas. And we drove down to Canberra because some people from Canberra wanted to meet us about from the Australian government about supporting this. And obviously the biggest cost in this was the travel component. And fortunately, out of that meeting, we were able to get some commitment off the Australian government, who have, you know, since the team's inception, have funded all the home and away travel for a part of DFAT called Pacific Oz Sports. So, we're able to had a bank guarantee in place, ended up getting the support for the travel, and then... pre-season of 2019 after the Pacific Cup, we commenced our first pre-season. And at that point, I was still sort of just helping Petro from the side. And, you know, he had a CEO and a little bit of management structure in place. And then they ended up pulling the pin on him around December or January of that first pre-season. So I jumped in to help him for 4 months. 4 years later, I'm still doing it. I said I'd do the interim CEO's job. And then, it's been a long journey. And obviously you could take 2 years of COVID out of that as well. You know, we played our first game and then COVID hit in 2020. So that cancelled the whole competition. And then 2021, we had to relocate the team to Australia. I only got half a season out that year. And then COVID kicked in and we had to send everybody home.
Yeah.
And then 2022, we got our first year out, but again, we had to relocate to Australia for that. So we had the team based at, had them living in a whole bunch of units around Kingsford. We were really fortunate the Australian government were able to redirect some of those funds, those travel funds that would bring the teams there backwards and forwards. They used that so we could play base the team in Australia. And then last year was our first year playing home and away games. So we were in the Ron Massey Cup competition, obviously, for these years. Played our first year of home and away, which was great. You know, finally got to get the boys back home. And you know, importantly for the Aussie clubs, you got to bring them to Fiji, because that was a big part of the whole strategic, you know, sort of vision around it, was to sort of bring overseas clubs to Fiji and try and showcase rugby league a little bit more. And we got our full season out of there. And then at the end of last season, we sort of had a pretty strong focus on picking young guys. You know, our aim is obviously to try and get as many guys into NRL systems as possible. And sort of for that to happen, we needed to go young. It was probably a little bit too much for them 18, 19-year-old kids. Like we had, you know, four or five kids in the side last year playing in the starting side that were eligible for SG ball playing against men. So they did really well. And we just missed the finals. But, we just thought it was the time to go to Jersey Flag and more importantly, start bringing the NRL brands to Fiji, although it's a 21s competition. You know, no disrespect to the Romantic clubs, but you know, we've got the Rabbitohs coming to Fiji this year. It's got a really good ring to it. Even though it's a 21 side, everyone in Fiji knows who the Rabbitohs are and they know who the Roosters are. And we played the West Tigers last week. So So that's sort of where we've landed with that. And we've just, yeah, we've just redone our deal with DFAT. So we've got 4 years in that competition. And yeah, we're really excited, mate. Particularly excited to have the Bunnies over tomorrow. It's yeah, it's really important. Obviously, yeah, well supported. Albo's a big big Rabbitohs man, and Rumbuka, our Prime Minister, was actually named our team. So there's a it's a bit pretty special for those guys. On the weekend, I believe the Prime Minister and that'll be at the game.
I'm excited. He's
heading over tomorrow. So
some heavy hitters involved, by the sounds of it.
Yeah, well, it's like anything, and you guys, it would have.
You know, you need that sort of push, don't you? You know, around something as big as this and the journey that you guys have been on that you just spoke about. It's obviously going to be a big boost to have someone like that at the game. And like you said, the brands like the Rabbitohs or the Roosters or Newcastle Knights or whoever end up going over there, it's going to be a huge boost for the game, mate. Anything like this, I suppose you probably set a 10-year plan. Where do you see Fiji Rugby League in the next 5 to 10 years, mate?
Fiji's actually, look, there's obviously there's all the talk about PNG at the moment, which is, it's the same thought process from the Australian government's point of view. They're obviously, you know, there's a big push for Australia to be supporting the Pacific for different political reasons there. You know, it's all been sort of well documented for us. And PNG, obviously, the games, it's a national sport there. And it doesn't matter what game you put there, they'll fill stadiums and stuff there. Fiji, there'll be a different challenge, because rugby's obviously, it is what it is. In Fiji, we've got the Drua there. They have the highest crowd in Super Rugby. So rugby's ingrained into the culture in Fiji. Everybody loves the NRL. And everybody knows all about it. With guys like Kikau and Siva and that doing what they're doing, it's, you know, the NRL is really popular in Fiji. But I think from our point of view, the one thing that we sort of have in Fiji that they don't have in Papua New Guinea is the pathway. We had 114 schools register for rugby league in Fiji this year, which is the highest they've ever had. And you know, the Stilktales being present in Fiji has been a big contributor to that. There's a lot of young kids now can see an opportunity to make our team and play 24 weeks in the Australian comp. There's a really good domestic competition there. I think they had 21 teams registered last year in the Vodafone Cup. So there is a strong pathway there. And I think from an NRL perspective, obviously there's talk around the Pacific Bears and different other options there. I think the PNG one's pretty much set in stone. But if they were to go down another Pacific team, I definitely think that I'd love, and Petro's come out and said this last week, we'd love for our platform to sort of support an NRL bid, however that looks.
Yep.
There's obviously Perth and South New Zealand and all that as well. So, definitely, I think the way that we're building, like you can stick $600 million into a place and get an NRL team and stuff, but the pathway takes time. Building to 114 teams in a local comp doesn't just happen overnight. So we've got to that point. But definitely, I think this will be interesting to see how things pan out over the next, probably 6 months, because I know they're sort of looking at Team 18, and then they don't want to stop there from what I'm hearing. They want to go to 19 and 20, which is good. So definitely, I think Fiji will be in the mix somewhere. How that looks, I'm not sure.
Just go, mate. You just mentioned the pathways. Have you modelled your pathway system on anyone else from the NRL? I know you've been involved, like you just said before, with State of Origin. They've got a great pathway system. The Blues, the Roosters. Have you modelled your system on any of them?
Mate, it was the biggest thing we did when we started, and sort of what I was trying to help Petro with on the side is I sort of work in that space with the Roosters. And setting up. The biggest thing that we didn't have in Fiji was with facilities. So first thing we did my contribution to the exercise was we put together a centre of excellence. So that was the first of its kind in any sport in Fiji. So we set that up in Lotoka, three-story building, high-performance gym, dormitory area for the players to live, office areas for the staff. From that, since 2019, we've now 10 facilities around the country.
Wow.
Partnering with schools. There's one at the University of South Pacific. We've actually set up one in Daceyville in Sydney when we were based in Sydney during COVID. So that's something that we're sort of really proud of as a club. We've been able to really put that infrastructure in place. And again, we feel that that's contributed to what's happening with secondary schools. We have sort of modelled stuff on, we've looked at what a lot of other clubs have done. Obviously, Petro's tied up with the Broncos as well. So we've looked at how they do things, what New South Wales and the Blues have done with their path. Pathways programs as well. So we have a program called the Elite Development Pathway Program. Another former Rabbitoh, Wise Catavarada, is actually the national coach now, and he worked for the Fiji Sports Commission. So Wise and I have got a really good relationship. I actually trained him back in the years when he was playing with South. So we feel like we've got a really good model there. Wise is really good with recruitment and obviously knows the landscape of Fiji better than what Petro and I do. So we feel like we've got a really good balance and a really good, a really strong product there that can attract the best kids from rugby to come play rugby league.
Well, at the end of the day, competition builds your team, and obviously you end up getting the best quality player if you've got strong competitions over there. And it sounds like you guys have set that up well done to you, Petro and Wisey, and everyone that's been involved. On to Saturday's game, mate, you want to just dress this one up a little bit and tell us a bit about the local team and what the Rabbitohs, some of the challenges they may face over there.
Well, the first challenge is going to be the heat.
Yeah.
12 o'clock kickoff.
What are we looking at, mate? 12 o'clock.
Well, I haven't looked yet, but I mean, I know then it's a different sort of heat. And I was born in Suva, and it's always nice and cool in Suva compared to most parts of Fiji. They call Latoka's the Burning West, they call it. So the first challenge that's actually going to be in front of it. And it misses nobody. We played last year, I think, out of the 8 games we had in Fiji, we only lost 1 game last year. That climate piece is a factor. And
I can let Tip know to watch out for Latoka.
That's it. That's it. You'll have to drink plenty of Fiji water when he gets there.
Yeah.
the other side of the coin is, we've got 6 or 7 guys backing up from last year. But I mean, like last week we got beat by the Tigers. We had 14 guys on an aeroplane first time, let alone playing in a competition of this standard. You know, when kids are cut, particularly at 21s, they've had Arab mats, they've had SG ball, some of our junior bunnies, long time to hone your skills. Our guys sort of went in pretty blind last week. We didn't have any trial matches. My first trial match got washed out in Fiji. And then last week we couldn't, the second trial match against the Titans, we had some guys get here late due to visa issues. So that's the, you know, probably evens the heat out against the sort of experience. But one thing's for sure, they play, you know, we play as all Fijian teams do. We play with they run very hard. They tackle hard. They like to move the footy. The heat doesn't bother them. They run at the same pace at the start as what they do at the finish. They love the contact. So now it's, I think that'll hold us in good stead. Now, last week we were down 22-4 at halftime, and by the time we had a bloke in the bin and we got some players, some continuity going, we ended up running in 20 unanswered points. So if they can start well, they'll give themselves a chance. Time will tell, mate.
Yeah. Oh, look, and like you said, Driscoll, it's going to be a great experience for the Rabbitohs as well to travel over there and teach them how, you know, to prepare for games professionally. And like you said, a couple of the boys hadn't even been on the plane. I could probably tell you maybe some of the Rabbitohs boys mightn't have been on the plane as well. So it's going to work both ways in that particular area. But, mate, some players to watch that we can, you know, the listeners can keep an eye out for throughout the season. Just mention a couple of names that you think will take it to the next level.
So, well, he's not in the team now, but we played the Bunnies, the Roosters in a trial a couple of weeks ago at Leichhardt. Kid that scored the first try, Melina Sau, he's just been graduated from our program, and he's signed with the Roosters. He scored the first try against South at Leichhardt there. So he's probably beyond the silk tails now. He's someone that we think can potentially kick on. But in the current team, got a big front rower, Watasoni Wangani Saravi. He had the year with the Roosters jersey flag last year. He's been in our program for 2 years now. 6'4", he's 120 kilos. He's a big boy. He got picked in the national team last year, so he's played 2 test matches now. He's back with us for a period of the year. I'm assuming he'll end up... His girlfriend's about to have a baby actually in a couple of weeks, so he'll probably move back to the Roosters at some point in the near future. But he's playing on the weekend, so he's someone that'll
he's a big unit. I think I remember him at Coogee Oval playing against South. He's a monster, come off the
That's
bench,
him, mate.
And South just couldn't go with him.
He's playing this week. Got a centre that scored a really good try last week. Amosi Dabitu, he was SG ball age last year, had a really good individual effort last year, was on the wing last year, he's moved into the centres. Our captain, Tamodi Katuisuva, he's another one that's, again, he's got another couple of years in flag, tall, rangy kid, good talker, he's on the ball a lot. Yeah, and then we had our centre on the other side of the field, he's only 18 years old, Mitchell Poulter got a really good try last week as well. But I think that they'll, there's probably another four or five there that can, as the year goes on, I'm expecting them to get better. Like, I think the beauty about playing in flag this year is, Rob Maskey only goes for 16 weeks. We got to round 10 last year and I started to work things out and ended up putting five in a row together. If we sort of get to that point this year, there's still 10 weeks to go in the competition. So yeah. I'm sort of thinking, sort of round 7, 8, there'll be a few more that come to the forefront there as well.
Good to hear, mate. A couple of players there to watch over the course of the year. The games will be named, well, they'll be playing for a trophy, won't they? And they'll be named after former NRL Fijian players. Tell us a little bit about that concept.
Yeah, so we want to do, obviously try and, sort of pay a bit of homage to some of the great players that have gone before us, the pioneers, so to speak. I think we've got four or five games this year where we're playing games named after a Fijian legend, or someone that's been a pioneer at that club. So this week it's we're playing for the Manawa Thompson Bowl. A great friend of yours and mine, Brownie, and you two chaps. He's actually he's one of your best mates. He's actually my daughter's godfather. I mentioned before, I was actually a ball boy for you guys when I was a kid. So we went through the whole South thing. There's been some great Fijians that played for South before John Sutton's Retuman, which is a part of Fiji. He's probably the greatest. Wise Katavarata as well. Lottie Tagiri had his year when South won the comp as well. But we felt that Manawa was probably the first one that sort of really made it of prominence, and obviously went out to have a great career. And special for us as well, special for me because he's a good friend. And when I put it to the board, they were really excited to have him on. But Manawa's been a real supporter of ours over the last 5 years as well. He's always stirring the kava bowl in the corp bar. He's the Fijian Alfie Langer. Like he looks after all the corporates. So
yeah, he's a great man, mate.
To get
great
some recognition
man.
For his footy.
Mate, speaking of corporates, you've got a great support from a range of international and local organisations, which include Fiji Airways, the Roosters, ANZ, some big companies there. My favourite, like you just said, the Fiji Carver, and your company, Pacific Facility Services Risk. Mate, tell us a little bit about your business and how you're involved with the Fijian Rugby League.
Yeah, so the thing that we wanted to do was, at the start, particularly during the bid process, was obviously we sort of gave some back of house support to the club and, got a network of offices around Australia. So, our head office in Sydney, we were able to give some space to the Silk Cows staff to work out of. But the thing that we wanted to do was set that first ever centre of excellence up. So we worked with the Australian government we were able to donate some equipment. We sent a container over there and obviously with my passion, strength and conditioning away from my business. So that was at the time I was head of performance for the national team. So it was something that we wanted to do there. And we're really proud that we've been able to do that. The sign still sits up at the front of that place now. And that building's become pretty iconic in Fiji in terms of rugby league and high performance. So that's, sort of what we brought to the table there. And we've obviously, in the pursuit of trying to set up more facilities around the country, we've lent our support there where we can. So it's been really proud to be associated with the Silk Tails. I know my partners Ben Wagana and Andrew Smith have just been wonderful supporters. It's I'm always walking in and knocking on the door and asking if we can help. they're always saying yes. So really thankful for those guys.
Organisations like that, you're sort of nothing without the support of different companies and whatnot, just to get a bit of funding to get you off the ground and give you half a chance. A bit like Rabbitohs Radio Podcast, Drisco. We ain't nothing without our sponsors. Shout out to all you sponsors out there. But look, we've got the game coming up this Saturday. Is anywhere the Australian listeners or the Fijian listeners can stream it if they can't make it to the game?
Yeah, so there was an announcement last week. Actually, it was wonderful news, and our mate Freddie Fittler was working in the background with this. So the NRL have done a deal to broadcast all the games. So throughout the Pacific, there's a channel called Pacific Oz TV, which beams throughout the Pacific. So chance to get rugby league in, I think it was, the number was 13 million homes across the Pacific. Whether it gets there, I'm not sure, but that's the potential for it. So that's been, that got announced last week. And so if you're in Fiji, you can watch it through FBC. We're going to share this podcast on our platforms as well. So they, the Fijian listeners will get to hear this as well. So yeah, FBC, which is there, they've got the exclusive rights in Fiji, and New South Wales Rugby League TV have taken the, have got the games on their new streaming platform this year as well. So it's, if anyone can't get to the game or wants to watch it, that's where you can go and see it.
That's great to hear, mate. And Freddie Fittler, he's been a big inclusion working for the NRL with these Pacific Nations pathway systems, and it's well done to Freddie. And we look forward to this game on Saturday. Mate, we love the Fijians here at Rabbitohs Radio. Their personality, they're infectious. They're always happy due to a team, mate. And all the best for the 2024 season, Drisk.
Thank you, boys, and appreciate you having me on. And I listen to the show all the time, and I love it. And I'll make sure that we get everybody in Fiji tuning in to Rabbitohs Radio as well. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, appreciate your time there, mate. And that might be it for another edition of Rabbitohs Radio Podcast.
Bulla bulla.
Up the mighty Rabbitohs.
See you, guys.
Higgins charges head on. Again working the forwards, Grant sends to Coop with McCarthy in support on the inside. He takes the reverse pass and dashes 20 yards to touchdown between the posts.
One-handed pass back for Phoenix. Back for Coleman. On a go. For the long forward, Michael Andrews is in under the post. 26-6. McKinley makes a dart. Gets the ball away.